of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 1 to 9. Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 1 to 9. These are the commands, decrees, and the laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates.
We thank God for the start of a new year. This is the second Sunday of 2019. And as we begin a new year, I think it is a good time for all of us to kind of pause a little while to do an inventory of our life. You know, as we look back, we think about things that we may have done wrong, and some opportunity that we have missed. So while we are doing all this reflecting, we also look ahead, and we look ahead at what is ahead of us in 2019. What difference my life can make? You know, all these are important questions. So how do we live our life wisely? And today I suggest that when we do our reflection of our life, one of the most important things is to reflect on our relationship with our God. You know, it all makes sense, because if time and life is given by God, he is the life giver, then from time to time, we have to think about how we relate to this life giver, right? So how is my relationship with God? And the beginning of a new year is a good time for us to think about, you know, where we stand in our relationship. How is God in our life? And if we have a good relationship with our God, then it affects everything we do. It affects how we live our life in this coming new year. It affects maybe how we drive and how we react to people who drive, right? A lot of people have rage, including Christians. It affects how we spend our money. Our relationship with God should also affect which website we visit, how much time we spend on social media. So it's a good time when God gives us this cycle of time. This time is a time that we reflect on our relationship with the time and life giver. And to begin with thinking about the relationship of God, I think the best way is to think about how our dependence, how we obey His laws and commandments. You know, even if we think about relationship, Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. So it is a good thing that we can have the law that we read today. Let us start with thinking of how we obey God's commandments. But a lot of people have a misconception of the Old Testament law. You know, some people would think that, oh, well, in the Old Testament, people were saved by obeying the law. And New Testament, people are saved by grace. You know, that is simply not true. Because in the Old Testament, God saved His people from Egypt, land of slavery, and then after God saved and to the Israelites, God said, you are my people. I brought you out from the land of slavery, from Egypt. And then in the wilderness, Sinai, God declared the Ten Commandments. So it is both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, salvation is first by God's grace. God saved us first, and then God says, I give you law so that as my people, you know how to live under God's kingdom. Deuteronomy 5, before God give out the Ten Commandments, God declared, I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And then God gives the Ten Commandments. The Old Testament, what are the Old Testament laws if it is not to obey to gain salvation? Old Testament laws, as one theologian put it, are interactive blessings. Old Testament laws are for us an interactive blessings. What it means is, by obeying these laws, not to gain salvation, but obeying these laws, we would is a condition of God's blessings to us. Just like in the verse that we just read, between 1 to 3, you know, if you obey these laws, then God promised to bless you, your children, and the children after you, so that you may live long life, so that you can possess, you can have this land that I promised to give you. It is a good land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Flowing with milk and honey is talk about the pastoral richness of the land. You know, it's the vegetation, it's the bees and honeys, it's dates that if you go to Israel, there's a lot of sweet dates, you know. It's sweet honey. And then it's a land with good for pasture. So this is the, and if you've obeyed my law, God says, then you would have all these blessings. But if you don't, you'll be cursed. And the second misconception a lot of people have about Old Testament law as they are cold, hard, and impersonal. Just like those signs and the swimming pools, rules and regulations, you know. No running, no diving, no glass container, you know. It seems like a lot of people think the Old Testament law as just some rules and regulations issued by some guidelines of head office far away, in many miles away. But in reality, in truth, Think about Old Testament laws is God is speaking to us. God spoke to us through his laws. Verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel." God's law is not something cold and impersonal. Through his law, God is speaking. God is trying to communicate with us. Hear, hear. Laws are given to us for God to reach, build a relationship with us. Hear, O Israel. God is calling out, hear, my people, hear. Next time, I hope when you read God's law, he says, God, I'm listening. God, speak for your servants, for I, your people, are listening. Hear, O Israel. Listening, listen to what God is saying. Not just information to be put in your file in your head. No, so we have to do a reflection. How much have you heard in the past year? How much have you heard from God, 2018, the past year? God speaks to us, wants to have a relationship with us. And if we maintain this close relationship, then we are maintaining a lifeline with the life giver. Then we truly, if we obey his law, we will experience true living. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. First of all, God is speaking to us. He says, he is not answering the question, how many gods are there in the world? He is calling Israel to remember who the God of Israel is. The Lord is one. The Lord is one. There is no other. The Lord have no competition. There is none. Just like the song that we just sang. You know, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. There is only one. There is no other God. There is no other competition. Our God is a jealous God. It's that he would not share his glory with others. God, to God, there is no other, no competition. God is telling his people, when you go to the promised land, don't follow the local idols, the pagan gods, the Canaanite gods. I, God of Israel, is one. But how about us? Do you allow other things, people, to stand between you and God? God is speaking to all of us. The Lord is one. Do you allow money, family, career, things like that, to stand between you and your close relationship with God? I saw a cartoon talk about, it's a religious cartoon, okay? A person, pastor is baptizing a believers in the water, and then the cartoon is the person will immerse himself in the water except the hand holding his wallet. Okay, so this person thinks that I will join in the name of Jesus everything all my life except my wallet. How about family? Some people let family stand in the way of close relationship with God. Career. doing work ahead, putting a priority of work ahead of what God is. So the Lord is one. We have to think about, are we allowing competition to damage our relationship with God? Or even schooling. I heard of young people who says, I don't go to church because I have to study. I have to put my education first. So the Lord is one. As we begin the new year, how do you live out what God is calling us to listen? Listen, my people, the Lord is one. There is no others. Love the Lord with all your hearts, soul, and strength. Love the Lord with your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. What does it mean to love your God with all your heart, soul, and strength? When I was preparing this sermon, it suddenly dawned on me what God is calling us. He says, God is a lover calling us to love him. Have you ever thought about this? In the past, I was just saying, these are commands. But now suddenly it dawns on me that it's calling us, his creature, his people, love me. God is saying, love me. How many of you watch Phantom of the Opera? Remember one beautiful song? All I Ask of You. Love me, that's all I ask of you. Pastor Kia, come and sing. Yes. You know, this beautiful song is God calling us. Can you imagine? Love me. That's all I ask of you. Our creator of heaven and earth is that wounded lover in the book of Isaiah. He says, how come you have broken my relationship? You have been unfaithful to me. God is calling us to love him. You know why? You know that out of all the power of that God has, love is not something that he will not force upon us. We were given the choice to love him. Another movie I want to bring you to your attention. How many of you watch Bruce Almighty? By Jim Carrey, right? Yeah. That's the one that is, Jim Carrey is, I think, is a news reporter. And then he's always criticized how, you know, God, you did the, you know, that's not fair in this world, so many disaster and things like that, you know, always complaining about God, you know, you are not doing your job, you know. And then suddenly God says, I'll let you be God for a while, you know. And then he suddenly becomes Bruce Almighty. But only, I think, one condition is you cannot tamper with free will. You know, he have a big misunderstanding with his girlfriend. Even Bruce Almighty cannot force his girlfriend to forgive him and to love him. God, if out of all the power, would not use his power to force us to love him. And God is calling in this world, in this law, he says, love me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. What does this mean by with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength? Well, if you imagine three concentric circles, one inside, one bigger, and the other one bigger. What all it is in the center is your heart. The Hebrew people believed our heart is the governing part of our mind, our emotion, that is our inner being, So love of your God in that sphere. And then with all your person, the second one, your soul. Your soul is your whole person. Whole person, body and spirit and mind. So love the Lord with your heart and with your whole person. And then with your strength. The strength is all your resources, everything you have. Your money, your power, your age, your health, your everything. So three circles, heart, person, and everything you have, your strengths, your resources. That is the type of love that God asks of us. Because the Lord is one. You shall not love God and then love Mammon. You cannot love God and love another thing. Why? This is God too demanding? Yes? Is God being not fair? Too demanding? Or want everything I have, inner person, whole person, and even everything I have, all my strengths? Is God too demanding? Can God be satisfied with 50% of me? Or can I love him one day out of seven? On Sunday, I will totally devote myself to you. But other days, weekdays, let me be me. God is not too demanding, because this is how God loved us first. You see, when God sacrificed his one beloved son, only son, for our sin, to save us, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. If that is the case, doesn't God have the right to demand our life, which we do not deserve? We deserve to die in sin. But God saved us. God sacrificed his son to save us. And then verse 7 to 9. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. When you lie down and when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates. This love of God is to be applied in all areas of life, both private and public, both at home and in the marketplace, both in your coming or going, whenever you pass the doorframe of your house, everywhere. This is the love that is lived out in your life. There is no sphere that God does not demand our life. Jesus was asked once, of all the commandments, which is the most important. You know, to them at that time, all the commandments are all in the Old Testament. You know, the entire book of Old Testament, out of all these commandments, you know how many commandments are there in the Old Testament? Well, it's not an easy to answer this question, because the Old Testament, according to the rabbis, they documented, they took an inventory, compiled a list, and they summarized 613 commandments. So out of 613 commandments, which one is the most important? Most important. Can you answer that? If you have not read the gospel, you know, very difficult question, you know, that's very tough theological question, you know. The rabbi asking another rabbi, all the 613, all the commandments, which one is the most important? You know, some commandments are like, do not steal. Some command, do not murder. Do you know there's a commandment of you do not eat the tendon of chicken thighs? I kid you not. Check out Genesis 32. Okay? Go home and check it out. You shall not eat tendons of chicken thigh. Okay? Because of Jacob. Out of all these commandments, 613, which one is the most important? Well, many of us know how Jesus answered. And Jesus quoted the verse that we read today. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." And then Jesus added, the second to this is, "Love your neighbors as yourselves." Love your neighbors as yourself. You see, notice, the rabbi asked Jesus, out of all the commandments, which one is the most important? And Jesus actually quoted two, both from Deuteronomy and also from Leviticus. The second one is, love your neighbor as yourself, is Leviticus. So, you see, the challenge is, which one is the most important? And Jesus gave two. Okay, what does that mean? Is that like a bonus day? You know, buy one, get one free? No. Jesus is trying to impress on us that when you love the Lord, love your neighbor cannot be separated. You see, you cannot just say, I love the Lord without loving your neighbor. It all goes in one package. It's not like which wing of the aircraft is more important, the right wing or the left wing. No, it cannot be separated, you know. It is together. So Jesus is saying that we have to live out our love for God in our relationship with others. So as we begin, it's 2019, I think this is important questions for us to ponder. To ponder our relationship with God, but it is not separated from our relationship with others. You cannot just say, I only love God. But when you see your brother, you still have animosity with him. So let us start the new year in the right move. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you because you are loving, you are faithful, you are powerful. You reveal to us your holy law. It is our privilege to listen to you. So help us to listen to your calling us sinners to come back to you. through your Son Jesus, help us to love you from the bottom of our hearts and overflow to our loving our brothers and sisters. May 2019 be the time that we live in obedience to you and we experience a blessed year. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.